Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the upper part of Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, we find ourselves in the middle of a discussion. The Gemara began on the bottom of Daf Nun Chesomid Beis, where Reish Lakish visited Batra, and he saw a couple of things that were questionable, and Rabbi Yochanan straightened him out. One of the issues that was discussed was the worship or the bowing to water. Apparently, the Gentiles were bowing to water, and Jews were drinking from that water. Rabbi Yochanan said that the water does not become forbidden because it is a public stream. From that, the Gemara wants to infer that if the whole heter was based on it being a public stream. On the second line from the top, the Gemara asks, "Ha diyachid ne'esarin," but if the water were privately owned, the bowing of the Gentiles would have rendered it prohibited. Why not derive or learn out or conclude that that is not the case? Rather, the water would be allowed because the water is in a stream attached to the ground. And things that are mechubar, just like we've seen in previous sugyas, if they worship a mountain, the mountain itself does not become forbidden. So too, the worship of water that's in a stream attached to the ground, even if it's in a private domain, does not become forbidden. So where is there room for this inference that we drew from Rabbi Yochanan that suggests that the allowance, that the leniency is only based on the fact that it was public, but if it were private, it would be prohibited? Lo tzricha de talshinu gola. Rashi says at the top, de talshinu gola pe'omim shem nitloshim. Sometimes the water, as it's flowing, becomes detached. Hilkoch e diyachid nesorin. Therefore, we can in fact infer that if it were privately owned water and the water had become detached, in a type of wave, if you will, the water, being that it's detached and also privately owned, it would have become forbidden. Question. Sof, avne har shnidaldalu ninhu. What we have on our hands is a case of mountain, rocks that became separated from a mountain. That's a case of them becoming detached from their state of attachment. Should we conclude from this discussion that in the event that the rocks would have been privately owned, they would have been deemed as forbidden? Tistayim, should we conclude the Rabbi Yochanan de Omar Asuros? This, in fact, was part of a discussion on Daf Mem Vav, where there was a machlokas between Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan concerning rocks that became detached from a mountain on their own. We're trying to parallel that right now to the case of the wave of water that became detached from the stream. In the Gemara Daf Mem Vav, we saw Machlokes, and it was not clear who held what. We had Rabbi Yochanan and B'nai Rabbi Chiya arguing. From what we're seeing in this Gemara, we have room to conclude that Rabbi Yochanan would have been the one to prohibit those rocks that became detached from the mountain and were subsequently worshipped. So should we not be able to conclude from this Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan, in fact, is the one that rules strictly regarding that topic on Daf Mem Vav of Avnei Harsh Nedaldalu. And yet, the Gemara there doesn't use this particular incident to come to that conclusion. So the Gemara points out that, in fact, the case with the water here is not parallel to the case of Avnei Harsh Nedaldalu, Lo Tzricha. The case here is necessary to be taught the Tafchinu Biyodei. The person worshipping the water, in this case, is where he was involved in its detachment. That's different than the case of the rocks. Rashi says the Tafchinu Ove Kichavim Biyodei. The Gentile came and with his hands he hit the water Milamato from underneath Vitolshan, and by hitting it from the we'll call it the base of the wave or from the stream, he thereby caused the water to be detached. And after he detached the water from the stream, he then bowed to it. And therefore there is human involvement in the development of this water. Rashi points out that as a result of this hesper, this explanation of the tafchinu, the case of the water is not similar to the case of the Gemara discussed on Mem Vav of the rocks that became detached from the mountain on their own. And therefore, if the water here was owned by a private individual, and the Gentile came along and actively detached the water from the privately owned stream, Nasarim, they would become forbidden through his bowing to it. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Iklo Lagavlo. We have a bow tie form that we introduced already in the previous Sugya Daf Nun Ches Amit Beis, in view of the fact that this is a second bow tie form. We see this is a second Maisa with a similar structure to the Gemara before. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is featured here as visiting Gavlo. Chozo, and he notices three things. Chozo benois Yisrael de me'abron me'ovdei kuchavim, shemolo velo tavlu. He notices that there are Jewish girls that were impregnated by Gentiles who did not fully convert. They received their bris milah, the circumcision, but they did not immerse themselves in a mikvah. Number two, Chozo Chamro de Mozgu Oivdei Kuchavim Vishosu Yisrael. He saw wine that was diluted by Gentiles, and Jews were drinking it. And number three, Chozo Turmu saw the Shalkilu Oivdei Kuchavim. He saw a turmis, it's a type of vegetation that requires extensive cooking. And the turmis was cooked up by Gentiles, the Achli Yisrael, and Jews were eating these Gentile cooked turmusin. V'lo Omar lehu v'lo midi, and Rabbi Chiya bar Abba didn't say a word. Also lekameid Rabbi Yochanan. He came to Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan became aware of these things. Omar le, Rabbi Yochanan reacted and said, "Say the hachreis, go out and announce. Number one, al b'neim shein mamzerim, that the children born from this union between Jewish women and Gentile men that did not fully convert, that only were circumcised and not immersed in the mikveh, that their children are to be declared as mamzerim. Mamzerim being a very specific category of person that, even though he is technically speaking Jewish, he cannot marry other full-fledged Jewish people. Number two, Val Yenon Mishum Yayin Esach, and I want you to announce and declare that their wine, the wine that was diluted by Gentiles, that their wine is forbidden. It's Yayin Esach. And number three, Val Tur Musan Mishum Bishule Ovde Kochavim Mishum She'enon B'nei Torah. And I want you to declare that their Tur Musin are forbidden on the grounds that it's Bishul Nochri, and that is only because they are not B'nai Torah. They are not scrupulous in their adherence to Torah precepts. At this point, the Gemara goes over each one of the items with additional Hesber. And you can see on the side, we have a Mivneh heading, three mikrim v'halochos shiro Reb Chiya bar Abba u posak aleihem Reb Yochanan l'chumra, and the triangle is featured. Hesber l'chol echad mipiskei Reb Yochanan. The Mivneh here is explaining the structure of the sugya vis-a-vis the shapes we have. The triangles represent a hesber of each one of the halachas Rabbi Yochanan ruled on. So now, turning to the Gemara, al b'neihem shem mamzerim. Regarding the children of this couple, Jewish woman and Gentile man who only did milah and no tvila, the result of that union are children that are mamzerim. Well, this is Rabbi Yochanan the Tamei. This is Rabbi Yochanan, consistent with what he says elsewhere, or what he says in general, that li'olam eino ger ad shimo v'yipol, that a person is not considered a convert until he does both actions. He is circumcised and immerses in a mikveh. V'kevin de lo tovil, and since he did not do the second requirement and the immersion in the mikveh, oved k'chavim hu, he is considered a Gentile. The Omar Rabba Barchan Rabbi Yochanan, and another aspect of this is taught by Rabbi Yochanan, that Ovid Kuchovim Ve'evid Habo Albas Yisrael, a Gentile or a slave that has relations with a Jewish girl, and there is a resultant pregnancy and birth, Havlad Mamzer, that is also a method of producing Mamzerus. Not only are forbidden relations in the realm of different Oinshe, Kores, and Mises Besdin, but even this realm, Gentile with Jewish woman, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the child is a mamzer. As far as Halacha Lemais is concerned, this is not necessarily the accepted psak, but as far as Shitas Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, that is the case. Regarding the second halacha, v'al yenom mishum yayin esach, this was the wine that was diluted by the Gentiles. Rabbi Yochanan declared the Jewish-owned wine, now that had been diluted by Gentiles, as forbidden. Why? Mishum lech lech amrin nezira schor schor lekarmo lo sikrav. This is an explanation that we described in our previous year. This expression reflects the idea of a gzera, of a ruling to create distance, to create an additional fence, thereby distancing one from an actual violation, so that the ruling of the diluted wine, namely the kosher wine diluted by Gentiles spilling water into it, it's ruled as forbidden, as a gzera, as a an act or a rule, an edict to distance one from more severe offense. We, in our previous shiur, described this expression. We'll say again, it's an idea whereby we want to keep someone away from trouble. In this case, a nozir who is forbidden to consume products from a vineyard, we tell him, and that's what this expression says, we tell the nozir, schor schor means go roundabout. Lekarma lo sikrav, don't draw near the vineyard. Stay away from trouble. Number three, v'al turmuson mishum bishulei ovdei kochavim lefi she'enon b'nei Torah. Rabbi Yochanan ruled that their turmus vegetables are forbidden on the grounds that they are not b'nei Torah, that they are not diligent in keeping the mitzvahs of Torah, and on those grounds, since they're not diligent, their turmus vegetation is ruled to be forbidden as bishul nochri, as food items cooked up by Gentiles. The Gemara now makes an inference. Taimo deina b'nei Torah. The only reason it seems that the Gentile cooked up turmusin were deemed forbidden by Rabbi Yochanan is only because they're not scrupulous in their Torah adherence. Ha b'nei Torah. Had they been, however, b'nei Torah, people careful with shmiras ha-Torah, careful with mitzvah observance, shori, then there would have been no problem with these turmusan that had been cooked up by Gentiles. So on this we ask, how could that be? V'omar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok, Omar Rav, We have Rav featured in a house form, and on the side of the Gemara, we see Beis Lishona Shel Rav, two versions of Rav. Mosai Nechshav Osur Mishum Bishul Nochri. When is something considered forbidden on the grounds that it's Gentile cooked? So we're asking now, but is it not so that Rav says, Kol Shenechal Kamos Shuchai Ein Bo Mishum Bishulei Ovdei Kochavim? Only things that can be eaten raw, if a Gentile cooked them up, then there is no problem. However, the tormus is not something eaten raw. It's edible only as a result of cooking. Therefore, it should be forbidden regardless of their being Einon B'nei Torah. Even if they were B'nei Torah, the tormus still should have been forbidden. So why does Rabbi Yochanan emphasize that the prohibition of the Gentile cooked up turmus is only because those people in the town that Rabbi Chiyo visited in Gavla, that they were Einon B'nei Torah? The Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan ki hach lishno svirolei. Rabbi Yochanan, in defining when is Bishol Nochri prohibited, he follows a different version. The Omar of Shmuel Barav Yitzchok Omar Rav, as opposed to the first version, the second version of Rav says, Kol she'eno oyla al shulchan, oyla l'shulchan melochim, l'lafes boi esapas, ein bo mishum bishulei ovdei kochavim. Any food item that would not be found at a royal meal, whereby a king would eat this particular food together with his bread, so if it wouldn't be found on a royal table, where a king is eating it together with his bread, so something like that is ein bo mishum bishulei ovdei kochavim. Now we have to add here that the turmus is something that's a very rather insignificant food, and therefore it's not found on royal tables. That being the case, the turmus should be allowed, even though it's cooked up by a Gentile. Once again, simply because it's a type of food item that's not found on royal tables. Taimo de Einon B'nei Torah. Therefore, why did Rabbi Yochanan forbid the turmus in view of the fact that it's not Oila al Shulchan Melachim? So the reason he forbade it there in the case of Gavlo is because they were Einon B'nei Torah. They were not diligent in mitzvah observance. Ha B'nei Torah, had they been diligent in their Torah observance, Shari, then the turmus cooked up by a Gentile would have been allowed. Bo Mine Merav Kahana. We see here a diamond. This is one of our series markings that started already on a previous omid, and we pointed out that there are a series of questions and incidents involving shilas of macholas asuros, and this series that began quite a while ago. In fact, it began on daf nun vov omid beis, continues till daf samach omid beis. So, Bomine Rav Kahana. The question was asked of Rav Kahana. Oyveid kechavim mau sheyoylich anovim legas. Can a Gentile carry grapes to a press? Omar lahu. So Rav Kahana answered, "Oser, I can't allow it." Mishum lechlech amrin nezira schor schor lekarmo lo tikrav. I want to forbid this as a means of creating a legal fence to stay away from trouble. Esve Rav Yemar the Rav Kahana. We have the following source, and in this source you see, in fact, a Gentile carrying grapes to a press. The source begins, Oved Kochavim Shehevi Anovim Legas Besalin Uvedur Durin Afalpi Shehayayin Mezalef Alehem Mutar. You have a Gentile is carrying grapes to a press in baskets or in small receptacles. Durin are smaller receptacles. And the source says that even though the grape juice is pouring out, so to speak, is oozing forth from the grapes all over these grapes, Mutter, this arrangement is okay. So what do we see from here? That a Gentile is allowed to carry the grapes, and it doesn't affect the wine. It doesn't affect the eventual wine that will be produced. Amar Leh, so he Rav Kana says back to Rav Yemar, Rav Kana, let us not forget, who did not allow the Gentile to carry the grapes to the press. He answers Rav Yemar, who just showed him a source, showed Rav Kahana a source that it should be allowed. Rav Kana answers, Hey V, Kamris, if you look at the expression found in the source that was used to ask on Rav Kahana, the source used the word Shehevi, that he carried, post facto, that he had already carried. So are you asking on me from that case? Anol lechatchilo kamina, my ruling of prohibition that a Gentile should not carry grapes, that is, if you come at the outset before anything is done and you inquire, can a Gentile carry grapes to a press in anticipation of making kosher wine? The answer to that is no, he should not carry. If he did carry after the fact, then we don't rule the wine to be forbidden just because he carried the grapes. Another incident, Hahu Esroga, there was an Esrog fruit, Denofal Lechavita de Chamra, and it fell into a barrel of wine. Idri Oivet Kichovim Veshakle. Idri is an expression of lunging forth or jumping ahead. So we have a Gentile that lunged forth and Shakle and grabbed the Esrog in the barrel of wine before it would sink to the bottom. Omer Lahu Ravashi. Ravashi says to the people standing there, Naptua Liodei, grab his hand, grab the hand of the Gentile, which is currently in the barrel of kosher wine, and grab his hand, Ki Hechi Delo Lishach Sheikh Bei, so that he should not splash the wine. If the goy does do a splashing action in the wine would become forbidden. Ubirtsua ad de shaifa, and tilt the barrel while the Gentile's hand is being held in arrest. Tilt the barrel until ad de shaifa, until the wine content flows out smoothly, slowly and smoothly, and thereby save the wine from becoming prohibited. The Rashi says on the third line from the top, Ubirtsua lechavito ad shaifa, kafu, to tilt hachovis, the barrel, letzad echot ad sheishbo chayayin, lesoch kli acher, sheimoshe chayayin miyad ha'oivik kichovim. What we're interested in is having the water, the wine drawn away from the hand of the Gentile. Ve'achakach yotzieno, and then extricate the hand of the Gentile from the now empty barrel. Utehe muteris bahano, and through this the wine will be mutter to benefit from the chosman shiyado tchuva b'yayin, as long as the hand of the Gentile is in the wine. Im yotzieno yef shalishmo shelo yishach sheikh, if he were to take the take the hand out while it's in the wine, in other words, move the Gentile's if you were to move the Gentile's hand while it's in the wine, it's impossible to make sure to guarantee that he doesn't do some kind of splashing action. Therefore, what we're saying is arrest the hand, keep it stationary the entire time while the barrel is being tilted in order to pour out the wine. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rav Ashi, Hai Oive Kichovim Denaske Lechamro D'Yisrael Bekavona. This is a worst case scenario where you have a Gentile that deliberately poured or stirred the wine of a Jew with idolatrous intent. Afagav de lezvune leoyve kichovim achrina aser, even though to sell this wine to another Gentile would be forbidden. Nevertheless, you can turn to the Gentile who himself made the ayin esech
and say, I want compensation for the wine that of my wine that you just ruined. Shari le lemishkal dome me'ahu ovikochovim. It is allowed to take payment. That's mishkal dome, to take payment from that very goy that ruined it. My taima. Why is this allowed? Once again, the sale of the barrel to someone else after it's been made into Yayin Esach is not allowed. However, turn to the original, we'll call him perpetrator, the one that ruined the wine, that you are allowed to collect from. So my time, why is that? The answer is Mikla Kalye. Literally means he burnt it up, but for our purposes means he destroyed it. So when you're turning to someone for a compensation because of destruction, that type of payment is allowed. The Rashi elaborates a little bit. He says, "Lemishkal domi me'ahu ovi kachavim shari," to receive compensation from the specific goy that ruined it is allowed. The lav mecherhu. This is not a. In this case, you're not selling it. V'eino nehenem midme yayin nesach, and you're also not benefiting from the value of the yayin nesach. Ela omer lo, rather you're telling him, shafachto yeni, you poured out, in effect, you ruined, you destroyed my kosher wine, v'ibadito mimeni, and you caused me a total loss. V'dme yayin kosher koshikol shakil, what you in effect are doing is you're taking the value, you're taking from the perpetrator the value of kosher wine. So you're allowed to get paid for kosher wine. This is different than the case of you're selling the barrel after the goy made it into Yayin Esach. If you sell it, you are in effect selling and profiting from that which is currently Yayin Esach, as opposed to the case that is featured in our Gemara. You are taking payment for the destruction of what was in the past, what had been kosher wine. So you're getting compensation for the destruction of kosher wine, and that is allowed. Omar Rav Ashi, Mino Amino La. From where do I know to rule thusly? Tesanya, we have a Tanaic source. Oivei Kochavim, Shenisech Yeno Shel Yisrael, Shelo Bifnei Avodis Kochavim. Oser, and a Gentile who created a forbidden wine, who ruined the Yayin, the kosher wine of a Jew, and made it into Yayin Nesach. If this was done not in the presence of an idol, Oser, it is Oser even to benefit from it. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bilva, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Matirin, they allow you to benefit from the wine, Mishum Shnei Dvorim, for two reasons. Number one, Echod She'ein Menas Chamiayin Elo B'fnei Avodis Chavim. Actual Nisuch is done only in front of an idol. In this case, as was featured here in the opening of the source, the Nisuch that was done here was Shelo B'fnei Avodis Chavim. It was not in front of an idol. And number two, the Echod She'omer Lo, and a second reason that we're declaring the wine Mutter Bahano is She'omer Lo, the owner of the wine can tell the Ovid Kochavim, the Gentile that made it into Yayin Esach, he can say, Lo kol heimenoch she'te'aser yeini le'onsi. It's not in your power to make my wine forbidden against my will. Rashi points out over here, Lo kol heimenoch. The afagab de lo svirlon kavasaihu lahatiro limkorlo v'kochavim acher. Even though we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bilva and Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra to allow the sale to another Gentile, miha shari lifruei nisko. Nevertheless, it is mutter to accept payment for damages mishum tam de lo kol heimenoch. Based on this reason, that it's not in your power to forbid my thing, therefore the very individual who caused the loss can or is expected to pay for those damages. Hahi chavito de chamro de shtakel le barzo. It was a case of a barrel of wine that the spigot fell off. Also, if it kuchovim, a Gentile came along, Idri, he lunged forth, onach yode iluya, and he placed his hand over that spot. Over the spot that
the spigot fell off, and he, by lunging forth and placing his hand there, he stops the wine from flowing out of the barrel. Amar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa rules, and we'll note over here, we have a Roman numeral number 1. There are two versions of Rav Papa's ruling. So the first ruling is, the first version, and this actually we note on the side of our Gemara, under our Nosei et Mivneh heading, we have noted a Roman numeral 1 and 2. They represent Shtei Lushonos B'divrei Rav Papa, B'inyin Chovis Yayin Shenital Berez Shalah, regarding two versions of Rav Papa, regarding a barrel of wine whose spigot fell off, V'sosmoi Goy Biodo, and the Gentile sealed it with his hand. So the first version is Kol Delahade Barza Chamra Osir. The flow of wine that comes from the area next to the hole that was left by the fallen off spigot, the flow that is from that Somuch Lenekev, that is forbidden to drink. The Idach Shari, but the rest of the contents of the barrel is mutter even for drinking. The Rashi at the bottom says, Kol Lahadi Barzo Chamra Osir, Kiluach, the flow, Hasomuch Lenekev, that's next to the hole, Osir Bishtia, is forbidden to drink, Velo Bahano, but it's not Osir for a benefit. Share Ein Kan Shichshuch, there's no stirring in this case. Shenekev Tsar Venu Yochol Lishachshech, the hole is very narrow. The Gentile can't get his hand in there in order to splash around for the purposes of making it a Yayin Nesech. The Idoch Shori, Rashi at the top says, the rest of the wine that's not part of that initial flow or immediate flow from the wine that's right next to the hole, in other words, there's the rest of the wine in the barrel, is Mutter, Rashi says, Af Bishtia, even for drinking, the Kosovar. The Rav Papa here is of the opinion, Tzdodin lav chibur hu le oser kol shar hayayin, that the connection to the wine that's next to the hole is not considered a connection to create a prohibition on the rest of the wine. Rashi then goes on to say that we don't paskin like this, and rather that there is a sense of connection with the rest of the wine. Continuing in the Gemara, V'iko di Amri, Omar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, in this case, the ad habarzo chamra osir, namely all the wine above the spigot, above the fallen spigot, the hole that is being held shut by the Gentile, so all the wine above that point is forbidden. The reason for that is that all the wine above is eventually going to would eventually flow out that hole. The idoch, the other wine below the hole level, would be allowed. Rashi, de'ad ha'barzo, kol yayin shelamalo lenekev, all the wine above the hole, osir, is forbidden. The kevon de kulo nimshach achar hanekev lotzeis derech shom, because all of the wine above the hole will eventually, or would eventually flow out that hole. Havile chibur the osir. It constitutes a connection. In other words, the wine that's connected to the wine near the hole, it's considered one continuum and therefore forbidden. The idoch shori af bishtia, the rest of the wine, any wine below that hole level, would be allowed, being that it's not going to come out that hole and it has no connection, so to speak, with the fact that the goy, the nochri, is holding his hand over there. Omar Rav Yemar Kitanoi. Rav Yemar claims that Rav Papa's ruling is the subject of a machlokes tanoim. The source begins, Chovis shenikva, bein mipiha, bein mishuleha, bein ubein mitzideha. A barrel of wine that developed a hole, whether it be from the hole at the top, or from the bottom, or the sides.
V'noga boi tful yoim. And a tful yom is an individual who has a low level of ritual impurity of tumah. He's already immersed in a mikveh, but the sun hasn't set, so he still retains a certain level of tumah. And a tful yom level of tumah renders truma, for example, renders it unfit. So if you have a tful yom that touches the wine, whether it be at the top, at the bottom, or the sides, it is tamea. The wine is rendered unfit. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mipio mishulel tamea. If it's from the top or from the bottoms, then the rest of the wine would become tame. Min hatsdodin mikan umikan tohor. But from the sides, so that which is to either side of it would be tohor. Now let us take a look at Rashi. Nikfa mipiha, hoil v'chol hayayin shelamato nase bosis le'elyon. If you have a situation where the hole was at the upper part of the barrel, so Rashi explains it. Why is it that all of the rest of the wine is viewed as tameh? Because all of the rest becomes a bosis, is a support le'elyon, havi chibor, and that's considered a connection. So that if the upper part was in contact with the tful yom, it's said that the rest of the wine underneath is said to be connected with that. Umishuleo, and from the bottom, nami. Hoyo v'chol hayayin nimshach achar nekev. Since if the hole is at the bottom, then all of the wine in the barrel will eventually come out that hole where the tvul yom touched. So therefore, have a chibur. Avol nekev mitzideho, however, a hole from the sides. Tahoyro mikan umikan kirav popo. If it's from the sides, then it would be, the wine would be tohor. And that would follow Rav Popa's ruling. Rabbanon less lehu de Rav Popa. The Rabbanon, however, they did not make a distinction. Rav Popa, as you can see in the Gemara, made a distinction between, given a case of the hole at the side of the barrel. So Rav Popa said that the wine above is problematic, but the wine below is okay. The Rabbanon, in this particular source that we just got finished seeing, did not make any distinction. Hilkoch les hilchaso kavosei v'kulo oser b'shtia umuter b'hano. And as a result of that, Rashi rules that all of the wine would be forbidden in drinking, even if the hole is at the side. Even though it's at the side, all of the wine is ruined and forbidden for drinking, but mutar b'hano, one would be able to sell it. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.